colleagues in the state of Tennessee. Of course, the jury instruction issue and the admission of evidence issue are dovetailed in this instance because, of course, necessity is right to prove. And as the defendant contends, that was due to the judge's ruling regarding the admissibility of the evidence. It's the state's position that the offer of proof made by the consisted entirely of irrelevant evidence. It was not probative of any issue of trial, and whatever probative value it has, the trial court correctly ruled, it ran great risk of confusing the jury.
So we have a problem in the record, right?
There is a problem.
Okay. So we know what proof would have been put on had it been allowed.
Exactly. The proffer was properly made and consisted mainly of what you've heard here today during defense counsel's argument, was that the defendant met with an FBI agent, explained his concerns, and was told, as I'm sure law enforcement officers tell citizens every day, there's not a crime here. Based upon what you've told me, you need more evidence. Now, that statement by the FBI agent, completely innocuous, somewhat vague, cannot be read to create a necessity on the defendant's behalf, to steal government documents. The other half of this, what the defendant viewed the trial court doing, the trial court looking through papers, the trial court taking notes, things that occur every day in this court and trial courts across the nation. Any thought of misdoing was completely speculative on the defendant's part at that point. And, of course, the key under the statute is that whatever fear of imminent harm there is, it must be based upon an objectively reasonable belief. And it cannot be said that it's objectively reasonable for a person to sit in a criminal courtroom, watch a judge take notes, look through papers, and assume that wrongdoing has taken place, and therefore have a license under the statute to steal those government records. That is not the purpose of the necessity statute. The evidence offered by the defendant on this issue was not relevant. It is not probative of a necessity defense in this case, and it was properly excluded by the trial court. If there are no questions, the state would ask that the court affirm the conviction.
All right. Mr. Avery, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Arion?
Yes, Your Honor. And that's actually rare. I say Irony. Your Honor, the state's argument is essentially that we should get rid of the jury system. Everything that I just heard state's counsel say relates to argument witnesses they could have called in rebuttal and arguments that they could have made in rebuttal and didn't. Didn't because the court denied the defendant the right to testify and denied the defendant the right to present facts in support of his defense. I mean, arguing that the evidence is irrelevant. Pardon me, Your Honors. I mean, we're all very familiar with the relevance rule. Any tendency. We're talking about going and talking to FBI agent having the agent say, well, I need some more evidence. We're talking, and by the way, there was a discussion in the state's brief about, and we discussed it also in our reply brief, about the fact that the testimony of the FBI agent, or the testimony that was proffered during the offer of proof by the defendant about what the FBI agent told him was hearsay, and that is, I just want to make the point that that's not true. It goes to the state of mind of the defendant at the time and reasonableness of what he believed those documents
were. What was the basis of your client's belief that some criminal activity or corrupt activity was afoot simply by the... It was based on, I assume, more than just the judge writing on the grand jury documents.
Yes, Your Honor. There's a long history of the defendant investigating jury selection processes. He has attended many grand jury selection selections in a couple of different counties, and he has become a kind of an expert on the statutes on how selections are supposed to be done. There are certainly some counties that kind of play fast and loose with it. Who knows whether or not, you know, which ones are corrupt, but this particular county, he had attended many grand jury and petit jury selections and had talked with jurors. There was some evidence about a particular grand juror that he talked with that day. But at the bottom, at the end of it, it is very clear in the statutes that judges, or that the court is supposed to have a system that does not allow for human intervention in selecting those grand jurors or petit jurors that are on the panel. And in this particular case, it was very clear that exactly what happened was this judge shuffled through the questionnaires with the names and picked the ones that she wanted on this particular grand jury panel. And whether or not she had, that might just be the way she's always done it, or it might be something nefarious, but the point is, it violated the statute, at least in the reasonable, I think, opinion of the defendant, and he wanted to bring that to the FBI and find out what the notes were. But again, these are issues and arguments that should have been raised and presented to the jury and marked.
So you're seriously saying that your client observed the criminal court judge take the cards of all the people who were summoned in for grand jury and say, I want this, I'm picking this person, I'm picking this person, I'm picking this person, I'm picking this person to come up with a grand jury?
Yes, Your Honor. That is exactly what I'm telling you. Yes. And that your reaction reflects the seriousness of this. It might not be true. I believe it is because I know the man, but I mean, this is something that's tertiary. I mean, this really doesn't
happen. It's pretty simple to determine whether or not you put all the names in the box and draw something out,
and
or you put them all on the desk and you hand pick them. I mean, that's not real complicated.
Yeah, I agree, Your Honor. That's how serious this is, and that is absolutely, according to the defendant, what's going on in that county. And again, these
but
issues
still,
wouldn't be.
What Judge Smith said, the remedy would be to dismiss those indictments.
Before we even get there, my argument is that the defendant certainly had relevant evidence in support of his reasonable belief that something was going on, and that those documents were evidence that were going to be destroyed, and it was important enough for him to take those. We're talking about a man who spent 20 years of his life dedicated to defending this country and the Constitution, and he made a decision to knowingly break the law because he thought it was necessary, and that defense was denied him.
Did he take them to the FBI?
He took them to a reporter, and he made sure that she didn't release any private information on them, that he just sent them to the FBI. He sent them to a reporter in order to make sure that they would. He figured he was probably going to get arrested and his house was going to be searched, and he wanted to get them out of his house.
But why didn't he take them to the FBI?
That was the plan, but he got arrested before he could, Your Honor. And again, all of this is completely outside of the scope of the trial. The trial was there was something going on, and whether or not his belief was reasonable was something that should have been discuss. And also, I want to say, when you look at the offer of proof was limited, to say the least. It was an offer of proof that established the necessary facts to show that we were trying to raise a necessity defense. If the defense had brought witnesses or these arguments, then there would have been more evidence in support of the reasonableness of his actions. And again, at the end of the day, it's a jury question. If the defendant is not given a new trial here, we're essentially saying we don't need juries anymore, we don't need the legislature, we might as well go home because we're not going to follow the statute because we've decided that it doesn't apply here. And we really don't even need the Bill of Rights because, you know, we don't need to have defendants testify against themselves. I hate to hyperbolize, I really do, but that's how important these issues are, and they live in a little misdemeanor case. reporter was directed to send the documents to the FBI after she received them, and that's what happened.
You've about used up your time.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
So we understand the position of both the government and yourself.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you. Does that conclude our morning topic?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. We're standing in adjournment until the December 7th.
All okay. Rise. This court stands adjourned until December the 17th at 9:30 a.m.
Time is 10:58 hours.